Oh, I think they did it. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl. Can you hear us?
Okay, good. Yes, we are having a lovely time together.
In Southern Indiana?
Sunny
cabin?
Yeah, sunny Southern Indiana. The cabin is beautiful here. Connie's got all new siding on the cabin. It's gorgeous. Her place looks gorgeous, inside and out. Connie and I have played golf 3 times since I've been here, and I've only been here like 4 days. We've been having a good time. In the woods. Cabin in the woods. Yes, it is. Hey, Marge. Hey, Ken. Hey, radio.
Hello, Radio Land.
So, we are here for Growing with NTI. And Connie says, just in case she's wrong. Connie says that we are getting ready to start 2 Thessalonians on page 369. Okay. That's what Cheryl says. So Connie and Cheryl are right.
As usual.
As usual. There might not be able to hear you do that.
They'll be able to hear me.
All right. So, prayer, right?
That's the first step.
All right. So, I want to express my gratitude for absolutely everything. Amen. really, that's what I have to say.
Right.
Did you want to add to that?
No, I don't think you can add to everything.
All right. So, NTI 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Welcome to this moment of learning. I ask you to take it well into your heart and carry it with you throughout your day. I share with you the secrets of your awakening.
Goody, goody. Come on.
I love you enduringly. Of this you may be sure. You can never fall short of my love because I know who you are, and I praise all that you do. My heart is within your heart. Together, our heart beats as one. This is the love that fills the world and fills your sight through you, which is also me. This is the lesson I have come to teach today, and the lesson that I ask you to open your mind fully to, accept, and learn. I am your heart because I am you. You know, it's funny because seems like I heard Regina say recently that she did not realize till, you know, well, till nearly the end of the book that Holy Spirit was saying, hey, I am you. I'm not like a separate entity from you. Right? And I mean, it just says it really, really clearly here in like italicized words in the middle of the page. I am your heart because I am you. And that's the truth of it. You know, there's no separate
Holy Spirit.
It's just the truth of who you are.
Right. You know, and I think I've heard more than, I know Dialogue and Awakening does that, and it seemed like there was another book recently that did that where, of course, on Dialogue and Awakening, it's Tom Carpenter that is scribing for Jesus. And Tom Carpenter talks about somewhere, maybe in his prologue, that
Marge says she can't hear you.
That he sits, that at the beginning of the book, he's sitting at his feet, and as the book progresses, he's sitting next to him, and as the book concludes, he realizes he's one with him.
Yeah. How sweet.
Yeah.
That's That's really sweet. I really appreciate that symbolism. You know, sitting at the feet of the master, right? You're
right.
Learning what you need to learn.
Sweet, yeah.
Yeah. And then you jump up out there on the same side of your buddies, right? And then you go, oh my God, it was me all the time.
Yeah, yeah, really sweet. And that, what was it, Joshua? Have you seen that movie? We probably watched that for.
Oh, that would be a good one to watch for movie watchers. Yeah.
And I think there's a similarity there that when I saw it for the first time, it just wept.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Cool. Yep.
Can you
hear me now, Marge?
Can you hear Connie now, Marge?
Nope.
Maybe nobody can hear us. Oh.
Better. I'll move around a little bit. Okay. So... the italicized part that they want you to get, Holy Spirit wants you to get, or I want me to get, is I am your heart because I am you.
This voice that you know as a reverberation of your heart is the voice of your truth. When I say it is I also mean it is you. I have told you that I will teach you to see differently. Now I will teach you how. I will teach you to see the world that you see differently by teaching you to see yourself through new eyes.
There you go. So you see the world differently by seeing yourself differently.
Yeah. I have told you that you see the world through the filter of your mind. The filter through which you see is your own judgment and belief about you. As this filter is changed, all that you see is changed, because the lens through which you see is made new. And this is in italics. The secret to awakening is to awaken to you. It is to accept the blaze within as you. And, you know, we often talk about how Byron Katie says, in regard to enlightenment, that, you know, she's enlightened to one thought at a time, or you can become enlightened to one thought at a time. And that's certainly what's being said here. You know, if you're continuing to see yourself as, you know, as we talk about it in shorthand, it's the character of the story or the personal self, you know, the one who's subject to the whims of the world, right? It's a different way of seeing than seeing that you are life that enlivens the world. You are the energy that's behind everything. You're not the different little thing. And I'll tell you what's been occurring for me lately is the gentle reminder to... And you might call it awareness watching awareness. I hadn't thought of it that way, but when I was mentioning this to Anne the other day, she said, oh, awareness watching. I'm like, oh, okay, awareness watching awareness. But it's the reminder to step back and take in the full picture.
That's what we read last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, about seeing the big picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know how when we were on the golf course there in Portland the other day, and I was remembering Dad, and Dad would say that to us. I don't remember him saying it on that hole we were on. But Dad would say that, listen to the golf course. You hear the birds. You hear the wind in the trees. You know, so Dad was doing that thing, just stepping back. And, you know, it's like we get so focused. You know, it's more like a funnel than a filter. Right? We just get so focused on our tiny little thoughts about whatever seems to be the issue of the day, the problem of the day, that we forget to step back and just appreciate the aliveness of the moment. Yeah. And that's a different way of seeing. I mean, even when the wolf's at the door with the bills, right? You can step out of that and go, yeah, but that's not seeing the bigger picture. That's not, you know,
Because we see ourselves as subject to the whims of life, as you know, you got so long to make it here on this earth, then you're out of here. And if you don't get it by then, you haven't won the game. You know, you have really messed up. But if you could step away from that enough to see, no, whatever happens to this body, come, you know, live, die, or whatever, I'm more than that. Right? I'm all of life. I'm happen to be experiencing it right at this moment through this body.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. That reminds me of Mr. Nobody.
Oh yeah. Do tell.
I said do tell. Oh, I don't know. Just that the. Any one of the scenarios didn't seem to make any difference. It was just one of the scenarios. But the truth of him was that he was bigger than all that.
Yeah. And Cheryl says she watched a movie with Holy Spirit yesterday called Jenny's Wedding on Showtime. Cheryl, you got to get HO. Showtime. It had so many beautiful messages of acceptance and loving all that is as it is. Check it out. Jenny's Wedding. Will do, Cheryl.
Jenny's Wedding. I may have seen that.
Sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think maybe I saw it, too. I got Showtime, Cheryl.
Connie, you watch it.
I'll watch it with you. All right, so let's read that italicized part again anyway.
The secret to awakening is to awaken to you, with a capital Y. It is to accept the blaze within as you. So I'm not sure we even got to this italicized part. I'm going to back all the way up to the top of the paragraph. I have told you that you see the world through the filter of your mind. This filter through which you see is your own judgment and belief about you. As this filter is changed, all that you see is changed. Because the lens through which you see is made new.
Yeah, we did read that.
The secret to awakening is to awaken to you. It is to accept the blaze within as you. This is what you want to do. And this is what you must do in order to see as I see. So this is what I have come to help you do. And we will focus on doing now.
Yay, good.
Look now at the unworthiness in your mind, which tells you that you do not deserve the gift I have come to give. Look at this belief. Feel the pain it has plunged deep into your heart. We are going to pluck this pain right out of your awareness. So look at it that you may pluck it cleanly without missing.
Okay, so listen. So do you find any?
I find less unworthiness, more worthiness now than I did at one time. Although I can tell you that when the mind gets busy, I find that it's more likely to turn up.
Really, a busy mind, rather than
more likely to return unworthiness. Oh, I did that poorly. Oh, I wish I'd done that instead. Oh, you know, all of that. When the mind's busy, just wants to, it's like, and that's all.
Commentary on everything that you're doing.
Yeah.
And a negative one at that.
Yeah, exactly. And you?
I think I have. My unworthiness probably shows up more as guilt as anything else. Looking back at relationships and thinking that I didn't do that very well and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Boy, that's painful. You get that, what did they call it here? The pain, it has plunged deep into your heart.
Oh.
Well, and I'll tell you, there was a journal entry that I had with Inner Wisdom where I was talking about lost love and, you know, feeling kind of melancholy. And Inner Wisdom said, you know, it doesn't tell you anything about. The only thing it tells you about you is the incredible capacity you have for love.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so, and, you know, that's what Jeff Foster, I was telling Connie about reading Jeff Foster, The Deepest Acceptance, I think is the name of his book. That's what he's talking about is recognizing yourself as the capacity for all of it, the capacity for incredible love and incredible hate, and you know, and incredible tenderness and incredible crassness, and, you know, it's just, it's, because he's talking about accepting what you find there. And it's, you are the capacity for everything. Your capacity for everything. You're not only the space, is one way of saying it, the space in which everything happens, but you're everything that's within that space. You know, because there's only, as Fred Davis says, there's only one thing going on here. So, I don't know if it was Jan Fraser that was talking about how people who were awakened still felt like, and it may have been Jeff Foster, but still felt like sorrow, but they recognized the sorrow as the human condition, you know, sorrow or whatever it was. You know, it's all a part of this messy, messy, messy thing that we call life.
Yeah, I've heard that too, that a lot of people recognize when the ego pops up with a message or two and realize what it is. It's just the ego popping off with a message, but they don't have to participate anymore.
Right. Okay, NTI, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 370. Okay, and I have written this as, I identified this as a guided meditation through the false self to the heart.
All right.
So, let's see. Look now, deep within your mind and heart. We are looking for a false god that you have erected before your truth. This is a false image made of yourself through your own judgment that you could be that which is other than that which you are. We must raise this false being up from its hiding place because it is from within hiding that it rules. Brought into the light of day, it cannot rule longer because its falseness must be revealed. Sit quietly with your faith placed by your motive. Remember why you do this thing that you do. You are ready to look directly at your judgment of yourself because you know it is not true and because it is an obstacle to all that you do know. Be willing to rest in the confidence of your faith as you call the demon within to meet your gaze. You can smile in confidence at your own invitation, knowing that as you stand firm in the knowledge of who you are, that which you shall see cannot shake you, for it is nothing more than your own judgment of yourself. Made solely by you, it is a judgment that can be completely taken away through your own delight and decision to do so. Rest in the knowledge of love, which is your true self, and the strength of truth. Rest in the knowledge of love, which is the universe and is God. Rest in the knowledge of love, which is everything that is real. Ask that which is not real to come from its place in hiding.
Hey, Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
yeah, so what it's talking about here, of course, is the purification or the inquiry that all that can be released, you know, when And we've all experienced it when we've had a really good inquiry, and the freedom and the relief of that. You just feel emancipated. And that's what's being called in that sweet chapter there. Of course, and all those are just judgments you have of yourself. And you may have acted out of those judgments, and now you're condemning.
Double dipping.
Yeah, you're double dipping. Now you're judging that. So it's real secretory and real deep, real quick.
It does. It's amazing how quickly that stuff can just
spiral.
Yeah. And seemingly take over your senses.
And I've heard people talk about the course being written as in spiraling.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Be willing to rest in the confidence of your faith as you call the demon within to meet your gaze. It is nothing more than your own judgment of yourself that can be completely taken away through your own decision to do so. Well, I skipped a lot in that paragraph. I just read the underlying parts. I like the delight part. Your own delight and decision to do so. Yeah, you know, you hold the keys to your own prison cell. Right?
Yeah, and you are the madman in the corner, demonized by his own thoughts.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Absolutely. So I'm just going to read. Do you mind if I read that in italics again?
I don't know.
Rest in the knowledge of love, which is your true self and the strength of truth. Rest in the knowledge of love, which is the universe and is God. Rest in the knowledge of love, which is everything that is real. Ask that which is not real to come from its place in hiding. Yeah, and that's what we said before. That's what we were saying before is, you know, at some point, and I don't know if you, you know, I haven't done it consistently. I've had periods with it where you can just look on the sadness again and see it as the human condition without needing to go, well, I'm sad. Guess I'm not a good spiritual student. Right? Where you can just be with.
Now, who is it that talks about the longing?
That was Tess Hughes.
Yeah, and said that, well, what did she say about that exactly? I mean, because I've had that experience a lot, and like pick it up in songs, you know, songs like Righteous Brother, you lost that loving feeling, and you can just feel the depths of the longing that's in that song. There's Anita Baker does a lot of that longing, those longing songs, and you can feel the call for God in those tunes like that.
Yeah. Well, and what Jeff Foster says is we all want the same thing. We all just want to go home.
Yeah. And some of us don't even know what it is we're longing for. That's part of it, and it manifests in that type of song.
So, Bonnie Raitt was my favorite.
Yeah, Bonnie Raitt does good longing songs.
She does. All right, we are at NTI 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let me just say, though, this seems to... You know, I'm not the scribe of NTI much as I'd like to be. I'll journal about that later.
Let me not get beyond this.
But it seems like Regina, the true scribe, was, it looks like she was really dealing with the unworthiness issue. And this is like, don't freak out, don't run away, don't try and stuff it down. tell this unworthiness to come on out. Let's look at it, because it's not the truth of who you are. The truth of you, who you are, is love. And love is everything, and that is nothing.
And of course, that's why we do the inquiries, right? Because we get hung up on some unworthiness issue. And it has to be looked at and dispelled for us to let it go.
And
that's, of course, that's what he's calling for here. We must raise this false being up from its hiding place. So we've stuffed it way down there, and we don't even know. I mean, how many times have I come to you with those inquiries going, help me with this one? And you have to dig and dig to figure out.
It's the same one.
it's the same dumb thing, Connie.
Right? Well, and then that the thing I went through in a recent past where I thought a friend was being uber critical. And it turned out it was me.
Imagine.
It was me that loathed me. And this was like, I'm talking 6 weeks ago, right? So it's like, dang, that stuff is packed in there pretty tightly.
Yeah, so it is, it is a hiding place, and it has to be brought out the light of the day so it can no longer rule, because its falseness must be revealed. Yeah. You got it right, Holy Spirit.
Good job, Holy Spirit. All right, NTI 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, page 371. Hey, Meg.
Hey, Meg.
The prayer in your heart will guide you. You need not pray. You need only listen. Remember that you are the vessel through which God's love pours into the world. Be willing to put aside the last remaining obstacle that blocks the conduit of love that you are. Wow.
Got a heart from Meg.
Huh?
Got a heart from Meg.
It's interesting. You are the vessel through which God's love pours into the world. Be willing to put aside the last remaining obstacle that blocks the conduit of love that you are.
That's right, Cheryl. That's beautiful.
This is a time of freedom for you and all the world. Take this step in joy, for it is the step of freedom. Look well within yourself now and see the hollow darkness that is nothing. You may feel it in your heart. It may seem to cause you pain. You may notice it in your throat and mouth. It may seem to taste of putrid yuck. It may agitate your mind or your body. Sit peacefully by and notice it. It is like a wind whirling inside of you. But in actuality, it is nothingness. It is idleness, for it keeps you focused on nothing as if it is something. It keeps you thinking you are doing, when in reality, you are doing nothing at all. You need this idleness that distracts no longer. Look at it. See that it isn't useful, as it serves no purpose in God. This is the king of all illusions. To this king, you may say goodbye. Okay, and we get a little bit more clarity in the next paragraph, which is good. I'm like, what? And here it is, bottom of page 371. Your busy mind is the idleness I speak of.
Are you speaking to me?
Do not ask your mind to lead you in what I ask you to do. Ask your mind to rest, that you may be led by your heart. You know, as I was reading that, and just the putrid yuck and the agitation of the mind, and it's like a wind whirling inside. I mean, you can feel that. It's like it takes your breath away. And I know that at times when I've been caught up in the mind, I have had to say, Father, help me breathe. I mean, just to catch my breath in the middle of all that. And I'm reminded, actually, of something that happened a couple weeks ago. I was with a friend, and I, you know, me being my delightful, smart-ass self, said something, right? Oh, isn't that funny? Well, and then I thought that I had hurt the person's feelings. And then on the drive home, I got all squirrely about it, putrid yucky about it, painful about it, and then I texted him and said, I'm sorry, I didn't get an answer to that. So, you know, it just gets tight, and you can't even feel it in your throat, your mouth, and just, it's awful. It's an awful, awful feeling. And, of course, you know, the message that I got from Inner Wisdom was, it's okay, everybody wants to be liked. We get you want to be the hip, cool one, right? We get that. It's okay. But just notice that when, it's looking outside for that affirmation. There's a danger in that. You can play that game if you want, but then you are going to, you know, then it's a long fall when you don't succeed in that game, right? So, I mean, that's just, and I say play that game, that's just being in the mind. It's like, let that crap go. And that was the message, you know. You would do well to just be when you're with your friends. Just be. Let them be and you be. Instead of being in the thinking mind that's going to create an image for me, and it's going to, you know, and then I got to maintain it, and then I can go, it's a rock and a tightrope. But that, so that's, you know, so as I was reading that, that is what came up for me, you know, it's just living in the busyness of the mind that says you need to do this so you can be perceived like this because the world works like this. You know, it's just a sticky mess.
Yeah. And it's being in that personhood again. And that's what we read about last week. Remember that? Let's see. We said sin is lack of peace, guilt, fear, need for control, need for certain outcomes, suffering, disassociation of who you are, forgetfulness and denial of reality. And you said, you know, of course, that's what I said. You said all of this is belief in personhood. Don't get involved in the stories of personhood. So when we get involved in the stories of personhood, here's who I am and here's who I want to project myself as being, and that's witty and curt and whatever. Instead of, as Holy Spirit was telling you, just be there. Right?
Yeah.
Because the real you is much more transparent when you're just being there instead of trying to be liked and witty.
Yep. Amen.
Okay, what are we missing here on the Lord? Yes, that's all the falsity and the illusion. It's one of the number one distractions. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
So, all right. So, I'm going to back up. 371, bottom. You need this idleness that distracts no longer. Look at it. See that it isn't useful as it serves no purpose in God. This is the king of all illusions. To this king, you may say goodbye. Your busy mind is the idleness I speak of.
Amen.
Do not ask your mind to lead you in what I ask you to do. Ask your mind to rest. that you may be led by your heart. Your thoughts may seem to trick you, as many of them support the busy idleness of the mind. Therefore, manage your thoughts in this way. As a thought comes up, before I read this, let me just say that that was part of that churning. I feel that in this passage. I can feel like that's where Regina was and whatever was going on with her at the time of this writing. That's what that felt like. It just a churning. It's like, well, you know, you could call her. Well, maybe if you just text her. I wonder why she had text. You know, it's just a churning. So
it's painful.
It's very painful, yes. So anyway, therefore, manage your thoughts in this way. As a thought comes up in your attempts to rest, look at it gently with no attachment to what it says. Ask only this question. Have you come to me from the heart?
I don't think so.
We'll feel the answer immediately, just like we just did. That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? You will feel the answer immediately. Do not doubt what you feel. It is the heart that answers this question in judgment. When the answer is no, ask the thought to pass by in peace. Feel no resistance to that which you've asked to fade away. When the heart answers yes, relax into listening. Relax fully, as you need not question this thought anymore. Let your questioning turn to trust. Let listening be the practice of the quiet mind. You are listening to your true voice, and it is teaching you who you truly are.
And well, there's a good practice, isn't it?
It's a lovely practice. It's a lovely practice. And it's like, you notice, it's like, it's clear about ask the thought to pass by in peace and feel no resistance to that which you've asked to fade away. No, it's not like, oh, I can't have that thought. No good student would have that thought. Or, you know, it's not enough. It's just like, yeah, I can see that I'm not in my heart with that. And I'm willing to just let that go. Right? I don't need to do any more than that.
Yeah. And I've been in situations where I'm so angst that this type of has been difficult. But I don't know that I asked the thought to pass away in peace. I mean, I knew I wasn't at peace. But I think this is I will dovetail this page. Which, where is that?
Yeah, for when you need it, right? Break glass in case of emergency. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, but the picture that just came in my mind is that scene from Little Buddha, where Buddha's sitting under the Bodhi tree, and he has all these temptations come to tempt him. He's got the dancing women, and one of the things that come to tempt him are the battles. There's all these soldiers or whatever they are in battle, and you know
he wants to go play soldier.
He doesn't go play soldier. He just looks at it and goes, uh-huh, and lets it pass in peace. Yeah. It's bottom of page 372. Peace is always within you, as I am in you, and I am you. Rest within the gentle knowledge of this as you follow the restful work of ridding yourself of the false. Isn't that sweet? I mean, talk about non-resistance. It's restful work.
Very nice.
What you see cannot disturb your peace, because your peace cannot be disturbed. So look within, remembering what it is that you do. You have my blessings as I am joined with you. I leave you now to do the silent work that I have asked. But I do not really leave you, as I am the one within that does this work in confidence. Grace be in your mind as well as your heart. Amen. I mean, how sweet is that? And like I say, that those three pages I had marked as a guided meditation through the false self to the heart. Pages 370 through 372. So it's a good one.
Very nice. Very sweet.
Very sweet.
And it's reassuring to know that there is one Holy Spirit, because there is one you, right? And the Holy Spirit saying, you know, I am you. So we're just relax into that.
Calm down.
Yeah, to relax into that. That which is within, instead of the busyness that your mind has got caught up in.
Yeah.
Of the world, well, which is outside of you.
Right, and as, of course, miracles would say, you can't solve the problem from within the problem. You've got to step out of that.
Right.
Busyness. And it's, again, it goes back to what we were talking about a while ago. Step back and see the larger picture.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and you can imagine, I mean, you know, when somebody commits suicide or something like that, they talk about the hopelessness that's there, that they're not even aware that just on the other side of that, the answer. You know, and that's why this message is so important. Because the answer is right there, and some of us aren't even aware of it.
Yeah, and I have I have seen that to talk about, because it talks about that in A Course in Miracles. And I have seen that to indicate that, for me, the way I've interpreted it is, you know, someone who is suicidal has seen the meaninglessness of the world.
Right.
And it's just one more step. You know, it's like, yes, you're onto it. It is meaningless, right? So it's just that one extra step.
Yeah, they can make that one step back to seeing the problem from outside the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's meaningless. Okay, now what?
Right.
Yeah.
And so there, it's meaningless. Let's it's therefore it's hopelessness.
Right.
Right.
Okay, we are on page 373. We're getting ready to start the Holy Spirit's interpretation of 1 Timothy. So, NTI, 1 Timothy, chapter 1. It is time to release your belief in individual personhood. That's it.
Close the book.
Close the book. It's time to release your belief in individual personhood and to accept yourself in joy as you truly are.
I'm so glad to hear say that that directly.
It's funny. I didn't know it actually said that way in this book.
Yeah, I read it underlined it.
It is time to release your belief in individual personhood and to accept yourself in joy as you truly are.
Thank you, God.
The personhood of man, which is based on the belief in the world, is meaningless. It is meaningless because the world itself is not real. So all that is based on the world is also not real. That's the extra step we were just talking about.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that you put your faith in something that's not real. Step back, there is something that is real. And it's you.
Yeah, and it's you. Sweet. This is a very deep thought that you do well to sit back and soak in fully. For within this thought is another symbol that is key to your own salvation. Feel within your heart as I speak, and you will hear the truth of all I say. Individual personhood is based on a belief in separateness.
You know it is. You know it is. And we revel in it, and we're ashamed of it. And we're manic with it.
Yeah, we are manic with it. Individualhood is based on belief in separateness. It is based on the belief that there is a you and I, a he and a she, and us and a them. Every part of the idea of individual personhood is based on the belief in separateness. Yet I have been teaching that separateness is false, and nothing in the world is as it appears to be. If this is true, the individual person that you think you are must not be your truth, and the persons that you think others are must be illusion, just as your seeming separateness is illusion also.
That's pretty powerful pack there.
You know, and what comes in for me is just that experience that I had of, you know, I've heard me talk about it, drawing it many times, at the Enlightenment Intensive, where I could just feel the flowing, unlimited, unbound potentiality of everything. As the truth of who I was. And I could feel the confused mind or ego or the need for limitation or the belief in whatever, call it what you will. At that time, I think I called it ego. But I could feel ego wanting to draw a circle around me. I could feel ego wanting to give me separate characteristics apart from the flow of all that was. And it was clear to me that that's what the thinking mind does. And in doing that, you know, felt that all of life and all of potentiality as a flow. And I could feel the tendency of the mind to want to delineate, to draw lines around, to make, to identify. And I could feel that as dropping those flood, boom, dropping those floodgates, you know. It was just, and that's all we do. That's all our thoughts are. Thoughts about everything.
I think that's 100% true. I mean, you can just see it in everything that we think keeps us separate from everybody else. You know, I wouldn't do that. Oh, you're going to do that? Those shoes?
Really? With that purse?
Really. I mean, just judgment after judgment after judgment, because that's not the way I would do it. And that separates me from you.
Right. Well, moreover, even when you don't even seem to be contrasting yourself with somebody else, oh, I'm smart. Look how smart I was that I got that burden. I mean, it's all about this, about drawing these lines. I am a savvy shopper, right?
Yeah.
I have beautiful hair. I mean, whatever it is, we're boom, 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 drawing those lines all day long.
And that's
all the thinking mind does.
And of course, that's what we were talking about in the last chapter, that those constructs of who we think we are, because we have delineated ourselves from everybody else, and either put ourselves up on a pedestal or put ourselves down in a hole because we're so unworthy, one or the other. And so the last chapter was saying, this is what you're hiding from. This is what has to be looked at, and this has to be released for you to be a conduit of the love that you really are into the world.
Yes.
It's not really there.
That's beautiful, Connie. That's it exactly. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, March, make special. Yeah, that's what the Course, that's what how the Course talks about.
Yes, exactly, March. The Course talks about special love and special hate.
Wanting to be seen as special.
Yeah.
Right. Special relationships, that's it's all about that.
Right. To see it distinct and different than our brothers.
Bottom of page 373, NTI. Individual personhood is like a measuring stick with many points of measurement along its shaft. It allows for differences and differences within differences so that it is fully supportive of the judgment that maintains illusion.
Yeah, there's justifying all along that measuring stick in there for why I did this and why they didn't, they're not like me and...
Absolutely. Page 374. The concept of individual personhood is the concept that permits self-judgment. It separates the self from the universe, which allows for comparison, weighting, and judgment. In this process, it separates and rejects.
You better believe it does.
It's really good. Because we've been talking about this, about loving all and embracing all, even the stuff that we don't really like, right? And it's like, because it's that's what consciousness is. It's all, you know, as Jeffster says, it's already there. It's already been allowed in consciousness. Look at it. It's there. It's sitting there in front of you, right? So it's not about, okay, I love this. I'll allow it. No, it's already allowed. What's required is your recognition. Look, it's here.
Cool.
Love it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it can be nothing other than what you are.
Right. It's kind of the resist not evil. And I didn't get that for a long time, that whole concept that the Course talks about, resist not evil, because your resistance
is rejection.
Is rejection. And, that's, once again, part of the judgment and separating process that keeps it alive.
Yeah, absolutely. Excuse me. The concept of individual personhood is the concept that permits self-judgment. It separates the self from the universe, which allows for comparison, weighting, and judgment. In this process, it separates and rejects. Whenever there is judgment, there is rejection. Therefore, it is denial of all that is as it is. And it is the concept that leads to the belief and feeling of loss. Judgment and rejection are the source of all pain. And this pain is caused by your acceptance of yourself as an individual and separate.
Can you read that last sentence again?
Judgment and rejection are the source of all pain, and this pain is caused by your acceptance of yourself as an individual and separate personhood.
Okay, so all of our pain comes from the judgment and rejection, and the judgment and rejection. It's because you think you're a separate person.
Yes. The concept of individual personhood is the concept that permits self-judgment. Yeah, it's just that, you know, again, I think this goes back to what we're talking about before. You know, it's like, does the enlightened one still see anger? Does the enlightened one still see sorrow? Yes. As a human condition. You know, it's not, oh, that's me. Let me take that and hold that and mold that into who I am, you know, and operate from there. It's like, you know, it's not a rejection of it. It's an acknowledgement that in the experience that we're having, there is sorrow, there is, you know, whatever it is, that we would go, oh no, that's not me, that's you, right? I mean, it's just, so when I was talking about my experience earlier with this flow of life and this really flow of potentiality that was just going, yay, experience, didn't matter what it was. But this unbounded, unlimited potentiality, I could see the thinking mind want to close that down and come in and claim some part of that, wanting to place some limit on it, whether it was the idea that there was a me there that could hear a sound, right? So it wanted to, like, come out of the complete flow of everything that was and zero in on something. Let me try again. You know, and I said that I really appreciated this when I had that session with Fred Davis where I got that in order to have a thought, you know, he was saying thoughts arise like steam on a sidewalk. And then we go, oh, there's my thought. And you grab onto it, right? But in order to do that, you have to presuppose the thinker of the thought. When in reality, thoughts are just floating up and there's no, you know, they got nothing to do with you. To say that's my thought, you have to believe that there was a thinker who had a thought.
Oh, all right. Now, that's cool. Yeah.
So you've
had to separate yourself as a thinker in order to have the thought.
Right.
So if you're part of the flow, you're just, the thoughts are just coming.
You're just seeing them. You're
yeah.
just seeing the thoughts and the Very emotions
cool.
and the
Very
whatever.
Cool. I like that. I better. I mean, it's the truth.
I don't like that. I reject it. All right. So let's look here at this next verse. Page 374, NTI, verses 17 through 15 through 17. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. There are no differences. There's only the illusion of differences. And the illusion is accepted into your heart by your belief in individual and separate personhood.
Very cool.
I think we're out of time. That's what I think.
Aren't near.
You want to stop here?
Okay.
All right. But just say that, you know, this, there are no differences. There is only the illusion of differences. You know, the first part of that is clearly that wish that we have had to experience something different than the truth.
So the tiny mad idea lived and relived.
Lived and relived every day, every moment of every day.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the second part of that sentence is what we just talked about. It's accepted into your heart in the belief that you are an individual person.
Right. Yeah, and we certainly have heard that as we get more and more real with this, we find everything is more and more the same. We don't see the lines of distinction like we do now, which is the limits I think you were talking about. Okay. Well, that's been a fun evening. Thank you for coming to the cabin here in sunny southern Indiana and sharing this experience with me, Jacqueline. I've missed you. I love you.
I love you, Connie. And thank you for sharing with me. And guys, thank you for being here at the cabin with us. We sure enjoyed you.
It's been great. Good night.
I love you. We'll see you next time.